tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. You guys are looking good today. So excited for you to be here today. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Rob, and I would love to meet you after the service. I'll be hanging out in the lobby afterwards. And I want to invite all of you to dig a little bit deeper with what you're about to experience. I know that if you're regular at church, the temptation is to think that your work is done, that your work is through the singing, that we just had you stand for about 20 minutes, and now you can just kind of sit back and relax and veg out and just kind of be fed. And I know that's the temptation, but I want to challenge you to go a little bit further, to dig a little bit deeper, to go to the next level, and check out a free app called YouVersion. This app allows you to get into the Bible during the day, every single day, but we use a part of it to dig in a little bit deeper with what we're about to experience. There's a place to take some notes. There's a free poll that you can take. All the scriptures I'm going to cover are in there. So I would challenge you to engage with what you're about to hear. Not just listen, but to write down some takeaways and engage with it by checking out YouVersion. Today we are continuing our series. We kicked it off last week. It's entitled Identity Discovery. And your identity is incredibly important because your identity helps you know what your purpose is. And the average human lives about 70 years roaming around the earth, kind of wandering around, trying to figure out what their purpose is. And in this series, over the next few weeks, we're going to unpack how to figure out what our identity is. What are you called to do? Why are you here on the earth today? That's what we're learning in this series. And our text for today, it comes from a letter that was written thousands of years ago to a group of Christians in Ephesus. The author of the letter, his name is Paul, and he's incredibly important to us, because he wrote over half of the New Testament. And Paul writes a letter to some dear friends, to a church that he started, to some people that he knew really, really well. And if you've never read the entire letter of Ephesians, I would encourage you to read it. It has some great understanding of who God is, and it also has some incredible practical insight for how Christians are to live their lives. And we're going to look at something that he wrote thousands of years ago, but it speaks so truly and so clearly to us today. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask that you would show some honor to our text, and do that by standing up and reading our text out loud. Even if you're not about this, even if you're not that excited, even if you're rolling your eyes and saying, I just sat down and got comfortable, I want you to fake it until you make it and say this loud and proud. We're going to read Ephesians 2:10 at the top of our lungs. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Now that we've read the text, let's engage and talk to God. God, we just come before you and we ask that you would speak to our hearts. We ask that you would remove the distractions from this room and you'd remove the distractions from our hearts and from our souls, God. Would you help us just to hone in and to listen to your still small voice? And God, we just ask, we give you permission to speak to us. And would you give us the courage to obey and to listen to you and follow through with whatever you tell us to do? God, I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. And God, may you give an extra blessing to whichever football team has the most fans in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody say, work your purpose. That was pretty good, but I have high expectations and I expect more out of you. This is the late crowd. Your coffee's already kicked in. You got a little bit more sleep than the 9:15 hour, so I'm expecting more. I would give you a grade of about a B. I'm looking for an A. I need somebody to say loud and proud, work your purpose.
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 That's great. Today we're going to talk a little bit about work. And the reason we're going to talk about work is because one of the main places where we are tempted to find our identity is in our work. And the reason we find our identity in our work is because we spend 40 plus hours doing a job. And so it's very easy to find your worth, to find your identity, to find your purpose in what you do. And I want to give a disclaimer here. We're going to talk about your work, but maybe you don't have a paying job. Maybe right now you're a full-time student. I would say whatever it is in your life that you are spending 40 plus hours doing, that is your work. And so even if you're a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad, God bless your soul, that is your work. And so whatever you spend the vast majority of your week doing, that's your work. And I don't know how your job started out. I don't know how you discovered this work world or how you took a first job. My very first job, I was 16 years old. I took a job at the Christian bookstore called Heaven and Earth. Yes, six of you know that store. It's awesome. Well, I took a job at Heaven and Earth because I thought I would be good at it. I loved Christian music. I enjoy reading Christian books. I like the Christian subculture. I liked that world. I knew about that world, and so I thought I would be great at this job. And so I get the job, and at 16 years old, I am working a job, and pretty quickly I found that I wasn't called to work at Heaven and Earth. There's nothing wrong with working at Heaven and Earth, but it was not my purpose. I was not great at working at Heaven and Earth. I constantly had some conflict with my boss, and I think ultimately it was because I was working a job that I didn't have passion in. I was working a job, I was getting a paycheck, I was showing up, but it wasn't my calling in life. And there were things that I could have done to make the job better, but I was just kind of there collecting a paycheck. And I look back, and there's so many things I would change about the way I handled that very first job. Like, back then when I worked it, they had these listening stations. And we didn't have iTunes back then. We didn't have Spotify. There wasn't a way to listen to music unless you went to the music store to listen to music. And they set up these listening stations that had tape decks. Anyone remember tape decks? Yes. They had tape decks or they had CD players. And we would put little demo stickers on all of the albums that were in the store. And if it had a demo sticker on it, you could listen to it. You could listen to the entire demo, and very often someone would come into Heaven and Earth, and most of the time it was someone who was in a choir, and they would put on the headphones to listen to the music, and they would turn the volume up really, really loud, and it wouldn't dawn on them that we couldn't hear their music. All we could hear is their voice. And if you've ever listened to music, when you turn up the music, your voice sounds a lot more quiet when you have headphones on than it actually is. And so I would be in the front of the store, and I would hear from the back of the store someone belting out, "Makes me clap my hands. Makes me want to dance, stomp," and I would laugh at them. I would say, "That's ridiculous." I should have, as an employee, I should have walked back there and just put my hand on them and said, "Hey, listen, you are singing as unto the Lord. It is a blessing, but you're embarrassing yourself. Maybe turn the volume down." But I didn't. I would laugh at them, and I'd make fun of them with the other employees. I was not great at this job. One time, the power went out at Heaven and Earth, but we weren't closed because it was daytime. So we couldn't use the cash register. Well, this was a problem for me because I'm not great at math. I have other skills that God has given me, but math is not one of those skills. In fact, when it got time for me to go to college, I picked a major where I didn't have to do a lot of math. I have a major, my degree is called youth ministry. I have a degree in youth ministry. Some of you are thinking that's BS. Yes, you are correct. I have a bachelor's of science in youth ministry. It is a legit bachelor's of science. Some of you will get that tomorrow. I have a legit degree in youth ministry, and we didn't have to do a lot of math. And so on this day, at this job, while I was a high school student, I had to figure out the math. When someone would buy something, I had to figure out what change to give them on my own, using my own math skills. And I know I'm not great with math. So at the end of the day, the boss comes to me, and he says, "Rob, we are $500 short." Now, I know I'm not good at math, but I think I might make a $5 mistake, maybe a $10 mistake. I know I didn't make a $500 mistake. And I questioned him on it. I said, "I don't think I did that. I don't think it's me." And even though I wasn't the only person who worked the cash register, I was the one that got in trouble. So he takes me back to his back office and he sits me down and he says he's going to write it and put it in my permanent file. A permanent file. I haven't worked at Heaven and Earth since like 1996, and yet they still probably have a permanent file on me that talks about the day where $500 went missing. Well, because of some of the tension and because I wasn't fulfilled at the job, I eventually moved on. I went to a new job. I became a sandwich artist. I worked at Subway. And while I was working at Subway, a news report came out that someone that was hired the exact same day I was at Heaven and Earth had been stealing money from Heaven and Earth, and she had stolen over $5,000. And so it makes me, whenever I tell this story, it makes me want to go to Heaven and Earth today and say, "You don't know me, but I have a permanent file back there. And it says I lost $500. I didn't do it. Rip up that permanent file." But here's what I found. I got into a new job, and the new job, I didn't find my purpose. I didn't love being a sandwich artist. And it was difficult, and it was hard, and I wasn't that great at it. When you work at Subway, you have to wear these plastic gloves, and my hands would sweat profusely in the plastic gloves. And it would never fail that as soon as I put the plastic glove on my hand, my face would start to itch. And you can't scratch your face when you're making people's food. So it was like torture. It was like trying to scratch your face without actually scratching your face. And I didn't love my job. As a junior in high school, I felt God calling me to ministry. And so at 18 years old, I took my very first job at a local church. And I was an intern. I didn't get paid very much. And the work wasn't glamorous. It wasn't necessarily anyone's dream job, but it was my dream job. Because for the first time in my life, I found what I was called to do. And for the first time in my life, I actually enjoyed getting up in the morning to go to a job. I was getting paid, and I didn't care how much I got paid. I was just blown away that someone would pay me to do what I was called to do. I loved my job, but then something happened, and it was an issue. Once I had discovered a job that I loved, I discovered that it comes to forming your identity. That as soon as I started working it and found something that I was good at, I started finding my worth in the job. And the problem with this is when I would get compliments, I would get prideful and say, yeah, I am pretty good at this. I'm pretty special, aren't I? And when I would get criticism, it would wreck me and tear me down. And I would say, oh, it's so unfair. And I can't believe they said that. And my emotions were going on this roller coaster because my worth was based off my performance at my job. And last week, we kicked off this series talking about identity. And in case you missed last week, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the podcast, the main idea from last week is your identity is formed by who or what you follow. Your identity is formed by who or what you follow. Whatever you're following, whatever your eyes are on, whatever you're paying attention to, that is what you form your identity in. And last week we talked about that if you are following anything other than Jesus, you will be wrecked or full of pride. Because the foundation of anything other than Jesus is faulty. And in the job, it is so easy to spend 40 hours of your week working for something, to follow something, to get your identity in it, to say, I have worth because I'm good at my job. The problem is what happens when you can no longer work your job? Or what happens when a new employee comes in that is better at your job than you are? Or what happens if you're working your job to the best of your ability and you don't get the raise, and you don't get the promotion, and you don't get the attention? It wrecks you because you spend so much time at your job. It is so easy to think that you are your job. But you are so much more than a job. You are so much more than a title. You are so much more than a paycheck. You were created to work, but your identity, it is not in your job. This is so important for us because our job is, it's a huge part of our life. In fact, when you meet someone and they're new, it's the first time you've met them, what is almost always the first question that you ask them? What do you do? What we should ask people is, who are you? Because what we really should care about is who they are. Like, why are you here? Like, what's your purpose? Like, what are you bringing to the table? But that's not what we ask. We ask, what do you do? And if your identity is in your job, you find that you answer this question with either a lot of pride or insecurity. And watch this, test me on this. Next time you meet someone and you ask them, what do you do? See if they're prideful or if they're insecure about their job. If they're prideful, their chest kind of just bows up and they'll tell you, yeah, I'm a rocket scientist at NASA. Man, that's incredible. I'm a colonel in the military. I'm a principal at a school. I'm a police officer. If they find pride in their job, it's like almost this moment to like show their trophies or show their badges and just say, hey, this is what I am, and I'm telling you this so that you know that I have worth, I have purpose, so you'll like me. So this is what I do as a job. But if you find someone who doesn't love their job, they kind of just look at the ground and they say, yeah, I don't know, I'm an intern. Well, what do you do? I stay at home with my kids. And God bless you if you stay at home with kids. That is the hardest job in the history of the world. Yeah, someone can clap for that. What's sad about that clap is it was started by a mom and not a dad. That's what was sad about that clap. Dad, let's be honest, man. I spend 5 minutes with my kids. I love my wife. I'm like, I don't know how you do it all day. Like, I have no idea. Like, it is hard. It is hard work. And your job, like what you do, if you have found your identity in your job, if you think that your worth is your paycheck, you think that your worth is your job, you can find insecurity when your job doesn't match up with how good you think you are. So you start to say things like, "Oh, yeah, I'm just a student. Oh yeah, I'm just lowly man on the totem pole." Your job, if it's your worth, it either leads you to feel this great pride or this great insecurity. But ultimately, for the Christian, our identity is not found in our work. Our identity is found in Jesus. And the truth of the matter is you can climb to the top of the corporate ladder, but if you don't know your purpose, you will always have a hole in your soul. If you don't know why God has put you on this earth, it doesn't matter if you're making $1.2 million. It won't really matter if you don't know what God has called you to do. You are called to do so much more than just get a paycheck, to just show up at a job. You are called to do so much more than just live for Friday. I just got to get through my week. I got to get through my job. Just can't wait for Friday. What a miserable mindset. Friday's one day of the week. You got to work your purpose Monday through Friday. You were created for so much more. And I want to show you this in our text today. Our text comes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We read it, but now I want to break it down. This is Paul writing to some of the earliest Christians. He says, "For we are this group of people," the people he was writing to then and us today. If you're here in this room, we are his. Who is the his? It is God's. We are God's workmanship. Now, this word workmanship is translated different ways depending on what translation of the Bible that you have. Some translations use the word handiwork. And the reason that there's multiple translations is because this is one of those words that means something, but the meaning is so complex, the English language doesn't really have a way to describe it or define it. That the original word that Paul wrote, it wasn't workmanship because Paul wrote the letter in Greek. The original word that Paul wrote was the word poema. Now, you guys are incredibly smart. You're intelligent. So you can already tell. We get the English word, what, from poema? Poem. The three of you are so smart. Thank you for incredibly smart. Poem. Now, think about that, okay? Just think about that just for a second. You are God's poem. A poem is not just based off of successes in life or failures in life. It is taking the entirety of a story and it's putting out a masterpiece. So when God put you out, when he thought of you, when he created you, he didn't just say, "Oh, this is, you know, I'm going to slack off and just kind of put, yeah, I'm not going to put my best effort towards him or her." He created you to be a masterpiece, a poema. In fact, the only other place in Scripture where that word poema is used, they take six English words to try to describe what it means. This is a complex word. It is a word that the best understanding is masterful creativity. That the greatest creator in the history of the world, a master creator, made you. And the text says, "For we are God's poema." We are God's workmanship. That he molded you, he sculpted you, he created you. And God doesn't create junk. He doesn't create someone just to exist for 40 hours a week behind a desk at a cubicle. He created you for a purpose. He created you that you are God's workmanship. But then look at what the text says next. You are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, why is this important? Well, if you take out the Christ Jesus and you just say, "For you are God's workmanship created for good works," what you would do is you would say, "Okay, I'm created for good works. That means I need to find my identity in my good works. I need to find something that I'm good at, and then I'll base my identity off of that." But the text does not say that you are created for good works. It says you are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Why is this important? Because you're not in control of your job at all times. And you may be working for a boss that doesn't appreciate you. And you may not be making the money that you deserve. And maybe no one's paying you for the talent that you have. And maybe no one notices. Or maybe you're sitting in college and it's taking you 6 years to get a four-year degree. I don't know where you're at. But if you are working for a job, you will find your identity in the job. But for the Christian, you find your identity in Jesus. You follow Jesus, and he gives you the good work to do. Your job is a place for your identity to shine, not to be discovered. Your job is a place for your identity to shine, not to be discovered. If you're taking notes, which I hope you are, if you're engaging, this might be something you want to write down to remember. Your job is a place for your identity to shine, not to be discovered. You were created to do good work in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? You find your identity in Jesus, and then you go to work. It's not the other way around. You don't go to work and find out your purpose and find out why you exist and find out why God put you on this earth. You follow Jesus, and then you take that work to work. And if you don't know whose you are, your job will work you. If you don't know who your identity is in Jesus, your job will destroy you. Because if you're working your job, your identity will be based off if your boss gives you credit, or if you're bringing in some money, or if you're getting attention or recognition. And if you don't get those things, you'll start to say, I don't even know why I exist. I don't know if I have a purpose. Am I any good? If you've ever been fired from a job, you wrestle with this stuff, and you say, man, why am I here? You are so much more than a job title. You're so much more than a job. You are so much more than a paycheck. But if you don't know whose you are, your job will work you. When your identity is in Jesus alone, you don't find pride in your job and you don't find insecurity in your job because you're not working for a boss. You're not working for a paycheck. You're working as if you're working unto God. As a Christian, your work should reflect your Creator. As a Christian, your work should reflect your Creator. I want to show you this in the Bible. In the Bible, it comes into two different sections. And if you're new to the church, if you're not familiar with it, it can be intimidating because we don't hand it out in two different sections. We just hand out the whole Bible in one big section lumped together. But the Bible comes in two sections. There is the Old Testament part of the section, which is before Jesus. And then, Jesus existed. He was in heaven, but it was before he came to earth. And then there's the New Testament part, which is Jesus' birth and then his death and resurrection and the story of the early church. And in the Old Testament part, the whole Bible, it starts off in a book called Genesis. And if you've never read Genesis, it's pretty fascinating because it gives the account of how everything came into being. And it says, in the beginning, God created everything. And God created the sun and the moon and the stars, and he created the water, and he created humans, and he created animals. He created everything. And then after he creates it, look at the very next verse in Genesis 2:2-3. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his, what's that word? I'm going to need your help a little bit more than that. Which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his what? Which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it, he rested from all his, which God had created and made. How many times in the text did it say God worked? Three. Some of you are like me and you're not gifted at math. You have other skills. It's okay. When it comes to God, though, he worked, work, 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 work. If you're under 30, you get that song reference. Little Rihanna, never heard anyone. God, though, think about this just for a second. God doesn't need to work, right? He's God. He's all powerful. God could just snap his fingers. He could just, lazily just kind of throw things together. But when God created, he went to work. And that means that when God created the sun, he didn't slack off. He didn't say, you know what, I'm kind of tired from everything else I created. Like, let me create half a sun. They don't need the full thing. Today's the day I got to create the ocean. I'm not really passionate about water. Let me just kind of throw something together. No, when he created the oceans, he created them beautiful to give us something to enjoy. When God created the stars, he could have made them ugly. He could have made them uninspiring. Right? But we go out and we look at the stars and it makes us feel some type of purpose and hope that we're part of something so much bigger because he made the stars and he made them beautiful for our enjoyment. God went to work. Now you get to the New Testament, and the New Testament is after Jesus came in human form and Jesus inspired a whole bunch of people. We've been talking about this guy named Paul who wrote a letter in our main text, and Paul wrote another letter to the church in Colossians, and look at what Paul says here. Paul says, whatever you do, what's that next word? Add it with all your heart as what? For the Lord and not human masters. Whatever you do, work as unto the Lord. Well, why is this important? Because when you work, you are representing your Creator. And your Creator didn't slack off. Your Creator didn't take lazy days. He didn't call in sick when he wasn't sick. He didn't slouch off. He didn't put in a half-butt effort. He worked his tail off. He made a masterpiece. And when it comes to you, it says you were created in His image. You were created to be a poema, created to be a workmanship. You were created as a masterpiece. You were created to reflect your Creator. And there's no more important way that you can do that within the way that you work. So you've got to work your purpose. Because when you're working at your job, how are you representing Jesus? And just think about this for a second. Based off the way that you work your job, based off how you show up 9 to 5, if people were to analyze you, what kind of picture of God are you painting? If the only Jesus that your coworkers knew was you, based off your work effort, what would they think of your God? Because you were created by a creative God who gave you a purpose to work for Him. And the truth of the matter is that people do watch you at your job. And a lot of times someone will come to me and they'll act like I have some high calling because I'm a pastor, that I'm something special because I'm a pastor. And I would say that if you're not in a church world, you have just as high, if not a higher calling than any pastor. Because I deal with mostly Christians all day long. But if you're at a job and it's a non-Christian job, you are literally the only Jesus that someone at your job knows. And the way that you work is a reflection of your Creator. So you don't work for a paycheck. You don't work for recognition. You don't work for someone to say, go get them, or you're good, or here's a raise. You work for Jesus. Now, here's the part that we want to push back. And here's the part that we're kind of wrestling with. Because some of you are like, okay, this is all great. I want to believe this. I want to get on board with this. But I hate my job. And what do I do if I have an awful boss? And what do I do if I'm not at my dream job? And what am I supposed to do? Like, I hear what you're saying. And let me just say, if you're asking questions like that, I applaud you. Because way too many people just dismiss hard things. And way too many people just say, oh, that's difficult. I don't want to do it. I'll just nod off. I won't even pay attention. But if you're asking, how do I do this? How do I do this in my context at a job I don't like? Or I'm not at my dream job? Or I don't have a job? Or I'm not getting paid what I should get paid? How do I do this then? If you're asking that question, I think you are a top-level human being. And this is an important question to ask, because what happens if you're working a job that's not your dream job, that you're not fulfilled at, if you're not finding your purpose, if you're not excited about it, if you're not getting paid what you think you should get paid, what are you supposed to do? And I think that we've got to change our mindset. There's someone we can learn from. His name is Joseph. Joseph is a guy, if you grew up in church learning about the Bible, Joseph's a guy we learn about in the Old Testament part of the Bible. In the book of Genesis, we learn about Joseph. And Joseph was a guy that found favor with his dad. He wasn't the oldest born son. He wasn't the next born. He was way down the line of kids, and his dad loved him. In fact, his dad poured so much favor on him, his dad made a coat of many colors and put it on his son. And Joseph was a young kid, and so he couldn't handle the accolades. He couldn't handle the praise, and he got a little bit prideful, and he was a little bit arrogant, and he rubbed his older brothers the wrong way. And his older brothers decided one day they couldn't take it anymore, and they decided they were going to kill him. So they throw him in a pit to die, and one of his brothers says, you know what, it's probably not the best thing to kill our brother. Like, I don't know if that's the best call. Why don't we instead sell him into slavery? So they sell Joseph into slavery, and he gets transported away from his home to Egypt, and he becomes a slave. Now, if you're a person who loves God, and your family betrayed you like that, and you're no longer at your dream place in your homeland, at your dream job, doing what you love, how would you respond in that moment? Most of us would get incredibly bitter and angry at God. But Joseph knew that he was called for something higher, that he was called for something better, and Joseph starts working his purpose as a slave. And he works so hard as a slave, he becomes the top dog in the whole empire underneath his boss, underneath his master at the time. In fact, he gets so much authority that his boss basically says, hey, you can do whatever you want. I trust you. Here's the keys to the kingdom. And he is rolling. Now, is this still his ideal place? No, he's a slave. It's not like he's like, man, this is awesome. This is what I dreamed of. When I graduated high school, I wrote, one day I hope to be a slave. He's still not at where he thinks he should be, but he's working it as unto the Lord. And God blesses the process. But if you're familiar with the story of Joseph, it doesn't go very well to him, because Joseph ends up interacting a lot with his boss's wife. And his boss's wife finds him attractive, and she starts hitting on him, and she starts throwing herself at him. And he says, this would not make my God happy. This would not make my boss happy. I don't want to have anything to do with this. And she gets offended. Her pride gets hurt because she's used to getting everything that she wants. And she goes and tells her husband, hey, that slave that you gave me, that one that's in charge of everything, he tried to get with me. And all of a sudden, Joseph's boss gets mad at him, and he goes and he arrests him, and he throws him in jail. Just imagine how demoralizing that would be if Joseph's worth and his identity was found in his job. Because he was working hard. He was working the best of his ability. He was doing everything he could to work as unto God, and he didn't get the promotion. He didn't get freedom. He didn't get released to the promised land. He's sitting in prison. And he easily could have got discouraged and just said, woe is me. I have nothing to live for. I'm not even worthy. I'm sitting in a prison, man. Don't they know my talents? Don't they know my gifts? Haven't they looked at my LinkedIn account? While he was sitting in prison, though, he works as unto the Lord, and he works so hard that the top guy in the prison gets him attention and gets him recognition and says, hey, I'm going to put you in charge of all the other prisoners. And all of a sudden, he finds blessing in a very dark situation. And from there, if you're not familiar with the story of Joseph, you should read it. It's a fascinating story. But time passes where he is the top dog in a prison, and eventually, because he is working as unto the Lord, God provides an opportunity for him to get out of prison, and he is elevated from a prisoner to like the second in charge of all of Egypt. But Joseph didn't sit around in prison and say, one day I'm going to work really hard when they put me in charge. One day I'm going to work my tail off. One day when I get a paycheck, then I'm going to start working. No, he worked his purpose in jail, and then he was elevated. You don't know who's watching you. And if you're not at your dream job, don't start working your dream job when you get it. You start working your purpose today, because maybe your dream job is watching you right now. And maybe you're sitting in a cubicle next to someone who's going to create a brand new business, and if you are working your tail off, they're going to take you with them. But if all they experience with you is the moaning and complaining and, oh, I hate my job and this is so bad, why would anyone create a dream job for you? You work your purpose, and sometimes that's not pretty. Sometimes that's not easy, because we all feel like we have this great worth and we're worth $1 million and we're worth working work that is incredible and awesome and attractive, but sometimes you just got to work where God's put you, and you work your tail off because you don't know what the end of the story is. My dad is an actor. And some of you that know my dad, you know this part. You've seen some of the things that he's been in. You've seen some of the commercials. You've seen some of the movies. Like, he is a full-time, this is his job. He's an actor. And I think it's really cool. I love movies, so I love bragging on my dad. But what a lot of people who get to know my dad now, today, don't know, is that years ago, before I was born, my dad moved to Hollywood to pursue his dream. It was his calling. It was what he was led to do. He was called to work in Hollywood, to change Hollywood, to make movies, to make TV shows, and work as if he's working unto God. And he's in Hollywood, and he's working on some shows, and he's working on some movies. My sister is born, and there's some complications in her birth. And so now all of a sudden they have some hospital bills and some things that they have to pay. And my dad is getting the stress of having not a steady job with being an actor and trying to figure out, how are we going to pay for these bills? And a handful of months after my sister was born, my mom has a brain aneurysm, and she almost dies. And so here my dad is, he's pursuing his job, he's pursuing his dream, he's doing what he's called to do, but now he has all these hospital bills, and he's like, I've got this pressure, I got to provide for my family. So my dad leaves his dream job, and he joins the military. Now, how easy would it be for him to whine and complain and to just moan around and say, man, I got the short end of the stick. God, I pursued my dream in Hollywood. I was doing what I was called to do, and like now, I'm stuck in the military. My dad's not a military guy. Like, sometimes you meet someone, and you're like, yeah, you're G.I. Joe. You're fit for the military. That's not my dad. And my dad worked a military career for 20 years, and he retired in the military, and he worked hard at his job, and he got recognition, and he got some promotions, but it wasn't his dream. It wasn't what he was passionate about. It wasn't what he was called to do. But as soon as he retired, and as soon as he took care of his family, and as soon as the hospital bills were paid for, he moved on to pursue his dream. And today, if you know my dad, you can tell your friends that you know someone who has their own IMDb page. I think that's pretty cool. I'm a huge movie buff, and my dad met Steven Spielberg. He talked to Steven Spielberg on the set of Lincoln. My dad plays the doctor, spoiler alert, that pronounces Lincoln dead in the movie. My dad's work. Recently, maybe you've seen it and didn't even know it was my dad. He was in a Geico commercial that went national. It was played all over America. The last thing that he did, most recently, that I'm so fired up and excited about, is he worked on a movie that hasn't been released yet, but the movie's star is Dwight K. Schrute from The Office. Now, if you're not a fan of The Office, I'll pray for you, because it's an incredible TV show. In fact, it's one of my all-time favorite shows. So my dad is normally incredibly professional when he goes to work a job and he leaves the celebrities alone, but he got a chance to talk to Rainn Wilson, who plays Dwight K. Schrute, and he tells him what a big fan his son is of The Office. And when they got done filming, Dwight K. Schrute says to my dad, "We got to take a selfie so your son can see you that you worked with me." And Rainn is the one that took the picture of the selfie. Now, why is that awesome? Yes. Duh. I deserve that response. But even more so, why is that awesome? I'll tell you why it's awesome. Because 20, 30 years ago, when my dad was at a desk job in the military, he could have easily put his head down and said, "This stinks. I'm not doing my calling. I'm not doing what God has gifted me to do." But you don't get to the promised land if you're not willing to work the field. And if you are waiting to be discovered, if you're waiting for someone to hand you the keys to your dream job, if you're waiting for a $1 million paycheck, it's not going to come. You don't work for those things. You don't work once you get those things. You work where God has planted you. You work your purpose. Work your purpose. Ephesians 2:10, we're going to close by looking at just the end of it because I think it's so important. We read already, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them." Why is this so important? Because you're going to walk in your job. You're going to live in your job. You're going to think about your job. But if you're not following Jesus, you're going to find a purpose in something that is fleeting. You're going to find a purpose in something that could leave you. None of us know what's going to happen with the economy. None of us know what's going to happen with your boss. We don't know if you're going to get a promotion. We don't know if you're unemployed. We don't know if you're going to get a job. We don't know the future. We can't tell it. And so we don't work for some hopeful future that we one day will get. We work our purpose where God has planted us now. Why? So that we can walk in it. You walk in your purpose. You follow Jesus. You do what he's called you to do now. And I promise you, at some point, you'll see the promised land. But if you're not willing to walk now, you're not going to walk when you get there. You got to walk where God has planted you now. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good work. Not lazy work, not sloppy work, not half-butt work. You were created to do good work in the name of Jesus. Go to your job and represent your Creator. Here's our application. The application is what you can do with what you've just heard. It's simply this. How can you reflect God at your job this week? How can you reflect God at your job this week? If you're the boss and you have some power and you've got some authority, well, how can you reflect God to your employees? If you're working at the shipyard and it's not your ideal environment and it's hard work and you're sweating and you got a bunch of guys that don't act very Christian, well, how can you represent Jesus to them? If you're a teacher and you got a bunch of parents who are constantly complaining about you and you're not at an ideal school, well, how can you work as if working unto Jesus with 20 snot-nosed kids? I don't know what your job is, and I'm not here to tell you what to do with your job. What I'm here to do is to proclaim that if you're a Christian, you are called to work as if you were working unto God. So how can you reflect God at your job this week? How can you do it? Answer that question. That's the application for this week. You guys pray with me. God, thank you so much that you've given us the ability to work. God, it's tough. It's tough because a lot of us would rather just lay around and be lazy. But God, we're not created to be lazy. We're created to work. We're created to work for a purpose. And so God, I just ask right now that you would inspire us this week. I ask right now that we would be people who would represent you well. And God, for those of us that are struggling because we're not at our ideal job, would you give us the courage and the strength to go find that job? Would you give us the ability to quit and go find another job or to pursue it, to figure out what you called us to do? And if we can't do it, God, would you give us the strength to endure? Would you give us the passion and the desire to work hard for you, even when we're not in the promised land? God, we're human. We're so faulty and so easy for us to get distracted and fail. And so ultimately, God, would you help us to put our eyes on you because you give us a purpose and you give us a job to do. And this week, would you place us an amazing opportunity so that we can represent you well. We thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.